Call the meeting to order. We do have a quorum. We do have a quorum. So Representative Postens will move the minutes for March 22nd. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Members, we'll jump right into this. I know that there's another committee hearing going on, and I just want everybody to know if anybody on the Environment Committee needs to take off to go take a vote, a roll call vote or anything like that, simply let me know, and I'll honor that. We'll just cut for a break or a recess. I'll let you run down and vote and then come back. So. Members, we have, I will move House File 895 as amended. We took up the DE amendment on Wednesday, and DE amendment was passed, and so we're working off the DE, which is now before us. We do have four amendments, members. The first amendment is, that I'll take up, will be House File. Yeah, I'll take up the A5 amendment. It is in your packet. And what the A5 amendment does is, one, as we discussed around urban agriculture, it's changing the title here to developing urban ag, or striking, developing urban ag and inserting urban youth agriculture education and urban agriculture community development. I did speak to Representative Clark about this too, and Representative Clark was okay with this language as of yesterday. And the other portion in it adds on 1.1 is the commissioner will submit a report detailing the agency's base budget. I did speak with the agency yesterday, and it's looking for misplace. I believe that they're okay with this, with that language as well. And then the other two, Section 6 and 7, these are technical changes outlined by staff. One is changing the word, transfer to appropriated, right? That's what it was? Okay. Any questions on the A5 amendment? Representative Bly.
I don't disagree with what you're doing here. I just, it occurs to me that perhaps taking out the words developing urban agriculture may diminish the overall effort. And although the language you're using is inclusive and are important things to recognize, I wonder if you just left developing urban agriculture and added that other language, if that would keep it, you know, that we want to invest and promote urban agriculture in general. I just raise that as a question. If you don't want to do that, that's okay with me. I just it struck me that perhaps that was happening.
Thank you, Representative Bly. I believe we're capturing that intent in the second part, urban agriculture community development. If everybody's okay, I will move the way it is currently. I will work with yourself and Representative Clark as we move forward, if you're okay with that. The other part that I missed is on line 1.5, and this was my error when we were presenting the bill. We're deleting 4 and inserting 4.5. That was the original language. 4.5% was the original language the department uses for administrative costs to the agri account. And I want to say right now I had a very good conversation with the assistant commissioner and Ms. Place to understand the need for additional dollars. And we are working back and forth for some clarity on that. I know there's some information on that. The Senate does have the full request of 6.5, so the department's is met in the Senate as far as their needs are in the Senate. I would like to leave it at 4.5 now. Let me review the information. I'm looking at the assistant commissioner right now. Review the information that you submitted, and you have my word, we'll continue working on this. And I also want you to take back to the individuals working on this. We have a tremendous amount of respect for them, and we appreciate all that they're doing. And, again, so I'm changing it back to 4.5. I apologize for the error, and I'll continue working with you, Assistant Commissioner and others, okay? With that, members, any further discussion on the A5 amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion fails. Members, next we have up the A4 amendment. Representative Poppy on the A4 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate that you included some money, an increase in the base budget for the Farm Advocate Program. I actually just wanted to clarify a bit, I think, on the language. Certainly, as we heard the testimony by the farm advocates, they do really a great job meeting with people and do a lot of it in the kitchens of their home and actually travel some and do, they're just available almost 24/7, I think, 365. And that kind of work is very important to our farmers as well. This would allow for the expansion of the Farm Advocates Program as we originally have it in the bill, but also to increase the compensation for those farm advocates. I think the intention was to really allow them to maybe get a little bit more of a bump for compensation, because if and when we're able to expand it, I'm not sure that we'd get the same quality of person to come forward and say they want to do that work with what they're currently being compensated. So it's just really a clarification that allows for that to be also a part of that the money being used.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Poppy. She moves the A4 amendment. Are there any other questions to the amendment, members? Any other questions? I do support the amendment. And with that, hearing no other questions, Representative Poppy will renew her motion to adopt the A4 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Next, members, we have the A1 amendment. This is Representative Johnson. Representative Johnson moves the A1 amendment, correct?
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to move the A1 amendment. And members, you'll recall that some of us saw this twice, but the farm safety bill went through 1192, but and the components of the bill were to establish this farm safety working group, which was really the group that has been kind of meeting on an ad hoc basis to advise on how to move ahead on farm safety. It also included some seed money for groups and affiliated organizations, both youth and affiliated groups, to get going on some programming for farm safety. And importantly, it was to establish a position at the University of Minnesota in the Extension Department to kind of coordinate the work on farm safety. The spending provisions are not in this bill, obviously, and, you know, I wish they were, but I understand that they're not, and I accept that. And the bill was moved to the Higher Ed Committee to consider the extension position, and it's my understanding that it's not in that bill as well. But so I think we've kind of slowed down on the farm safety, and given the data and the situation and frankly the tragedy associated with farm safety, I don't think it's a good idea for this legislature to completely put the brakes on it beyond the rollover program, which is important and significant. But this is a larger issue than that. And so my effort today is to establish this farm safety group. All evidence that I saw in regards to their work with the Department of Agriculture in helping to make recommendations, we saw their report. I thought it was an excellent report. I think they gave the legislature really a strong set of ideas from which to work. Again, I wish we were making more progress. But I think in the least, we really should establish in law this group, so that they can keep working and keep making the recommendations, identifying areas where we need to address to make sure there's better safety on the farm. It obviously, this affects families. It affects a lot going on. And so I ask for your support of the A1 amendment.
Any discussion on the A1 amendment, members?
Yes.
Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thank Representative Johnson for bringing this forward, and I agree that the safety on the farm and agriculture is very important. There was some angst among some folks of establishing another committee, and I would just ask the representative, is there a sunset to this? I see the section expires in 2021, or do you see this as an ongoing committee?
Representative Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, I do see it as an ongoing committee, but there is a sunset.
Okay.
And what that does is, you know, we do that frequently. It gives us an opportunity to take another look at it in a few years, mm-hmm. see if they're doing their job, if it's productive and that sort of thing. I think we will find it's productive. Farm safety doesn't go away. It changes as technology changes. Obviously, you know, you can imagine the farm safety back in 1880 was different than it is today. But it doesn't go away, and we know that it's a dangerous profession. It's dangerous, and so the work of this committee can help, you know, just help promote safety on the farm, and I think that's a good idea.
Chair Anderson? No, I just, again, reiterate my support for the program.
All right. Any other discussion, members? Hearing none, Representative Johnson renews his motion for the A1 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion fails. All right, members, seeing no other amendments, any discussion to the bill as amended? Yeah. Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think I appreciate that you've included a number of provisions that came from the DFL side of the aisle. I think we, again, have proven that this is a committee that can work together and we can listen to each other and be able to then, pull together on behalf of our agriculture community and our farmers and producers. And I appreciate that the bill includes many of those things. Certainly we are, I know that the department would like to see a little bit more recognition of the work that they've been doing and the need for them to continue doing that work with the bump that they would like to have. I know they're disappointed that that's not included here, but I appreciate that you're acknowledging that you're going to continue to look at that and see what you can do there. I do appreciate in a farm safety working group that you're allowing us to kind of highlight that again. I think that's, again, something that everybody agrees to. We've had some discussion here about some other areas that aren't included, and I think you've made this bill to be much a bipartisan bill, and I appreciate that. I know that Representative Hansen has to be in the Environment Committee today, and he's very, very concerned about emerald ash borers. I think the majority of people would be about how that's expanding and creeping into all parts of the state, and that's something that we really do need to try to figure out how we're going to address that as quickly as possible. Representative Mahoney has also been a strong proponent of us funding some things, and I think that that's one area that we need to try to figure out how do we put some money toward that effort. But again, I think that on behalf of the DFL side of the aisle, I appreciate that this bill includes a lot of really good recommendations from all of us, and I'd like to see it be supported.
Thank you, Representative Poppy. Any other discussions to the bill? Chair Anderson.
Chair Anderson. Thanks again, Mr. Chair. I, too, want to thank you and for putting the bill together, with the help of the whole committee, of course, and staff as well for the work they do. I would like to highlight a couple of things. You know, there's been a lot of, I use the word buzz, talk about pollinators, and I really appreciate you including some funding to try to get to using science, getting to the bottom of what's happening and how we can improve the habitat and the number of bees that survive. So I want to thank you for including that funding. And along the lines of what Representative Poppy talked about with the folks going out to do some counseling, I got a press release the other day from University Extension, and they are going to be starting a brand new program to offer farmers who are beginning to experience financial difficulties a one-on-one type setting to try to sit down before the situation gets out of hand and work with a farmer and try to come up with possible solutions to keep keep the farmer going and hopefully get operating money for the spring. So I want to thank the extension folks for beginning that program. And then the other thing, Mr. Chair, I would like to mention was I had a bill for some infrastructure that would help get out more blender pumps and such for the E15, E10 program. And I like to look at cars, and I look, and you can hardly find a new car today that offers flex fuel capability. The E85 part of the flex fuel thing, it's difficult to find a new vehicle today. The car makers, for whatever reason, I hear it's because they don't get credit anymore for the mileage standards for offering flex fuel vehicles. And that concerns me about E85 going forward. So I think it's even more imperative that we offer consumers the E15 gasoline option. And to do that, they have to do some upgrades and things. So I would encourage the committee to think about that as we try to increase the use of ethanol in the state, that we look at helping to fund some of the build-outs of E15 for gas stations in Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. Representative Bly.
Yes, I also want to thank you for your fairness and your effort to try to hear every bill. I think you're very thoughtful and try to make sure that we are thoughtful as well about what we're doing. I do have to mention Forever Green, and I do wish we had found some funding for that. I firmly believe, I think it's the future for what we are planning to do in agriculture, and hope that we can keep that going forward. But I appreciate your efforts and wanted to mention that.
Thank you, Representative Bly. And we're still working on that, too, on the Forever Green piece. And I did receive an email from a individual from the University of Minnesota offering the support for that program, too. So we'll continue working on that. So thank you, Representative Bly. Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm one of those people who are in two committees at the same time this morning, too. So sorry. I guess I missed a little bit earlier the discussion about the Urban Agriculture Amendment, but I just wanted to say I really appreciate that language is in there. I mean, it's just a move forward that you can take a lot of credit for. I really appreciate that. I wanted to just point out I had some interesting conversations with Representative Anderson about this. You know, one of the investment in urban agriculture really helps us get some farmers ready to go back to rural Minnesota. So that's I gave him an example the other day when we were talking about it. So I just think it's a nice connection between the two, and the language that you've put in there seems to pull that together. And I think hopefully there will be a lot of appreciation of that, and I hope the Senate will join us with that. I also appreciate that you heard every bill. And I wanted to say one other connection that was important to me, and it's in a separate bill, heard yet, but it will be, it's one that I think I talked with you about when we heard about the soy-based sealant for roads as an alternative. I put together a proposal that we could use right in the inner city, and I'm hoping it'll be another way that we see that rural and urban Minnesota work together, because we need to have the safety that those soy sealants provide us compared to the asphalt. So I thank you for bringing that forward, and we'll keep moving on and look forward to hopefully working on that next year.
Oh, thank you, Representative Clark, and also thank you for raising our awareness and educating us on the importance of urban ag initiatives. And, no, it was a learning process for me as well, and I appreciate that. Thank you. Any other discussion members? Representative Johnson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And, yes, as it is with ag policy, I genuinely enjoy working on a committee that can work together and really works openly to divert partisanship. You know, obviously there's partisan things that go on, but nonetheless, I just think it's healthy, and I think it's actually something Minnesotans are looking for, and it's very nice to be able to be part of that. Just a couple of reflections on our hearings, and one of the things that strikes me is that as I've sat on this committee for the last several years is that it seems like the scope just keeps growing and growing, and it's interesting how I think it's partly that food and agriculture are emerging as more important subjects in America and certainly in Minnesota, and it's interesting. But it's also reflected in the bill with like the urban agriculture where we've achieved that, or the Grow It Center. on, you know, I'm sure Representative Sheldon Johnson is really pleased and recognizing the power of that, they're working with Metro State. That's pretty neat. I do have just a couple of things that I'm a little, I think we need to keep our eye on. One is the keeping the focus on also on, particularly with the AgriFund, and keeping that focus on the economic development and the associated economic development that goes with agriculture, the value-added ag is what I call it. And I think in rural Minnesota that's so important. I live in a region that is lives on value-added agriculture and really has thrived with it. And it Mankato area just passed 100,000 people. It was announced in the paper today. And that is a result, really, we see it as the base. And the analysis in the paper was GreenSeam, which is an effort by the community to try and give a good focus to agriculture in the region in all its aspects, ranging from farming itself to processing, but also to the associated services with it. I live in an area where we really see the power of what agriculture can do economically in rural Minnesota. But I think it's important that with the AgriFund that we keep doing that as we move, if the move continues as you desire, to have more effort in the legislature, that we keep committed to the economic development aspect of that. Specifically, one concern that I have is on the noxious weeds. I'm really glad that we've got the funding in there for the counties. But I think we're maybe understating the challenge in this. I'll tell you, that Palmer amaranth situation is scary. And it's also something that I think needs a statewide response. And you'll recall that the Department of Agriculture had asked for staff to kind of coordinate those efforts. I know we need the money out in the country with the counties and that to support them, but I think we've got a big hole in this bill and that we don't have the statewide view on that. And if we have some problems as those emerge, we're going to need that. The department's really going to have to respond and be a big part of that, and it's going to require coordination and a larger effort and an expertise that maybe is more available in one of those positions than we could expect out in the counties. And so I think we need to keep an eye on that even through the end of this session, because this could emerge that quickly, but even in the interim as well. I think it's that important and it's concerning. So, but then that relates also to the question of, it struck a chord with me yesterday, when we heard the bill. The discussion about the Department of Agriculture, we're kind of keep asking them to do more without adding to their capacity to do that. And Representative Poppe and I glanced at each other because we both worked in the state university system, the MinSCU system. That's where our careers are. And I'll tell you, the legislature does that. The legislature did that to me on my job. We're both academic advisors, and so we were really vulnerable to that. That's real for us. And when you're asking more, it's always do more with less, do more with less, do more with less. Well, that really takes its toll. In our case, it was with students. But in the Department of Agriculture, it will be with really serving this very critical industry. And so I hope we can address that going forward as well. But in the end, you've got a good bill. I look forward to voting for it.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. And like I said, the assistant commissioner was in the office that I occupy yesterday, advocating very strongly on behalf of the people within the Department of Ag. And in one area in particular was that increase from 4.5 to 6.5%, because those individuals that are processing those grants, the average workload is about 100 grants per individual typically, but they're up to about 300 grants per individual. And so it's duly noted. And then I asked or requested some additional information, and they're working on getting that back to me. And so we are still in those conversations with the department. It's duly noted, and thank you for bringing that up as well. So, Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, this has been an interesting first year on the Ag Committee for me. I have learned many different things, things I had a hint to and things I had no idea were in your bill. None of them that I have great angst over, but I do want to remind the committee that Emerald Ashbore is a huge huge problem. We heard in committee that when we had the Dutch elm disease, we as a state, inflation adjusted, put about $70 million in to take care of it. I have spoken to my particular district with its thousands and thousands of ash trees. And my city, my taxpayers, we're footing the bill. We are footing the bill, and my question is, are we going to get repaid when we decide as a legislature to address this? Because it was $70 to $90 million when they finally started addressing the Dutch elm. And we've already invested about $10 million. My city, my taxpayers, my property taxpayers. My property taxes just went up about 12% this year, or the proposal is for 12%. And it's kind of funny, you know, my grandparents are buried out in western Minnesota, and I drive out there 4 or 5 times a year. Grandma and I had a really good relationship. Apparently, I was the only grandchild that had a good relationship with my grandmother, as I talked to my others, my cousins. Small graveyard out there, but there's 40 ash trees in that graveyard. And it's an old graveyard. 1874 was the first headstone that I saw out there. So this is coming to a town near you. I'm wondering how that investment's going to be repaid, that cost to my taxpayers, when we come to try to pay for all of the rest of us. So it is a big issue. It's not very well addressed in this bill. I'll leave it at that. I look forward to working with the policy chair next year, over the interim and next year, on some accountability issues, because as many of us sit on other committees, health and human services, ag, higher ed, education, jobs, you can figure out who, what, and where happened and how, what were the results. And again, as I said yesterday, the day before, they're starting to blend together. It's really difficult to find out what the results of the money that we spend in the Ag Committee are. I mean, just flat out to be able to track that. And I don't think that's the right way that we should do business, whether it's in the northern part of the state, southern part of the state, or any part. We should all be able to figure it out, and our taxpayers should be able to go online and see what the results were of the money that we spend for them.
Thank you, Representative Mahoney, and I've truly appreciated your perspective, your knowledge and expertise as it pertains to the Jobs Committee.
Don't ever tell me an ROI again.
That's Chair Anderson, and you missed that. You left the room when Chair Anderson presented his bill and said he was going to talk to the ROI, but you missed that. You had already left. Any other discussion, members? Any other discussion to the bill? Seeing none, then I will renew my motion that House File 895, as amended, be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, members. I think we do have a few things. Vice Chair Miller? You have Chair? Announcements, sir?
I have a brief announcement.
All right.
Mr. Chair, if you'll oblige me, I think since today is likely our last day of committee, I think it's only fitting and appropriate that we acknowledge an important date tomorrow in history. Tomorrow's an important day, 1968, somewhere here in the United States.
Allegedly.
A young couple, John and Henrietta, had a baby boy.
John and Henrietta.
And I'd like to tell the story of this great man. Many thought in the community when they heard upon the conception of this young man that there were many unintended consequences that resulted in this.
Let's not go back.
And that this would be a disaster for this young couple. But I will tell you what. Henrietta said to John, I want it all. I want it all. I don't think that this baby boy is going to be a problem, a disgrace. There's going to be challenges, but I think this can be a win-win. for this family, for this community, for the United States. This baby boy is more than just a growing carrot. I know budgets are tight, but then John said, Henrietta, budgets are not tight. If you'll bear with me for a moment here, I'm getting a little bit emotional here. John said, Henrietta, as we move forward with our six other kids and this baby boy, we are going to use every tool in the toolbox to ensure that this young man becomes a proud member of a community and someday will work in agriculture and someday oversee policy in agriculture. Henrietta began to cry. She said, we are all in this together, aren't we? And he says, yes, we are. They had peace in the valley for the family. I'm not going to be able to do this all the way. I'm going to disappoint you.
Thank you.
So, because agriculture is an honorable and noble profession, if you think about it, when this man one day leads policy in the great state of Minnesota, we will come to recognize that agriculture is not partisan, it's bipartisan. I will say that when he started, I'm almost done, Mr. Chair.
I apologize, Devin.
When he was a young man, he went to school with another young man who was once in the future also became part of policy. He was an elected person in office. This was a Mr. Representative Johnson Clark. They were good friends. They played sports together. Yeah. You know, so they didn't build each other up. They built each other up. They didn't tear each other down. So, well, the color in the room is getting a little bit blue, so I will stop here. But I did want to say to the chair of our committee, Mr. Hamilton, Chair Hamilton, happy birthday. Happy 50th birthday.
Well, to my dear, dear, dear staff, I am not 50, not quite.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm 49, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And it is also Representative Schumacher's birthday tomorrow, too. So
I can speak to that, Mr. Chair, if you'd like me to.
So he's more focused on recreational use of good old hemp cover crops, alfalfa, to avoid a crisis because he has the best staff around. Blackout bingo. There you have it.
There you go. Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Line up and give him a hug.
No. We've burned up enough people's time. So with that, are there any other announcements? I would like to echo as well what Representative Poppy said, Vice Chair Miller and others. The staff is absolutely phenomenal. Thank you to the page. Mr. Sullivan and Savory, you guys are the best. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. And Nancy, you're fantastic. You are absolutely fantastic. Rachel, you know, until the 50, you know, comment, you were right up there, but, you know, I'm just teasing. You're oh. Yeah, and we have Bethany in here for GOP research. And I thought you said you was in the environment. He's right there. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we need two because, you know, it's so much. And then Mark Heartless Nisley. Yeah. We balance each other out. Good cop and bad cop. So with that, everybody, I guess.